Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're analyzing a really insidious cyber campaign, one of the most clever we've seen in a while. We're going to show you how just one character, the presence or absence of a single letter, was the difference between a smooth Windows activation and, well, a total system compromise.
That's a perfect case study, really,
because
it's not about some complex software bug.
Right.
It's a sophisticated social engineering trick. It's called typosquatting, and it relies completely on human speed, on inattention, and frankly, on our willingness to take a shortcut.
So they didn't hack the software, they hacked the user.
They hacked the user, exactly.
We've spent a lot of time digging through the security research on this. It details a fake Windows activation domain that was used to infect, well, thousands of users with something called the Cosmoly Loader and the XWorm Remote Access Trojan. Sounds pretty nasty.
Oh, it is. And our mission for you, the listener, isn't just to tell you the story. It's to arm you with practical defenses. We want you to be able to recognize this attack vector immediately, to understand what this malware actually does once it's inside your system, and to know the precise, actionable steps to protect yourself.
Okay, let's unpack the setup then. The entire campaign was built to target a very specific group of people.
Yeah, people who were actively looking for unofficial ways to activate Windows or Microsoft Office, you know, without buying a license.
So they're already in a bit of a gray area.
They are. And they're often looking for tools like the open source Microsoft Activation Scripts, or MAS for short.
And since they're using scripts, they're not just clicking an icon, they're in a command line, a PowerShell window.
Precisely. Which means they're already in a high focus, but also high risk environment. And the mechanism the attackers built here is just. It's a perfect example of low tech, high reward domain typosquatting. It's all about getting the user to manually type a command.
Which brings us to that single critical character, the one letter. The legitimate activation script, the one these users thought they were typing, uses the domain get.activated.win.
Right. And that active at the end of activated is the key.
It's everything.
It's everything. Because the malicious domain the criminals registered was get.activate.win. Just activate. No D.
Wow.
The D is missing. If you're rushing or you're manually typing this long PowerShell command from memory or a tutorial,
you'd miss it. You'd so easily miss that.
It's incredibly easy to miss.
Yeah.
And that single omission is the trigger. It downloads and runs the malicious script, not the tool they wanted.
The simplicity of that is just, it's unsettling. But once the user runs that script, that's when the real trouble starts. Let's talk about the payloads. What's the first thing that happens?
So the first thing we see is the open source Cosmoly loader. Now, it's important to get this. The loader isn't the final attack.
It's the delivery truck.
It's the delivery truck, a very efficient one. Its job is to check if the system is a good target, stabilize its connection, and then pull down the secondary, more damaging payloads.
And what were those payloads in this campaign?
We saw two main components. Each one is designed for a different purpose, either monetization or control.
Okay.
The first payload was a set of crypto mining utilities. These things immediately start hijacking a huge chunk of your system's resources. We're talking CPU, GPU cycles, to mine cryptocurrency for the attackers.
So your computer basically gets put to work in a digital labor camp, and you're paying the electricity bill for the bad guys. What does that look like for the user?
The key sign is a sudden, severe system slowdown. Everything feels sluggish. Your computer might even run hot, especially when it should be idle. The malware is designed to be sneaky, running in the background with no obvious window open.
And that second payload, the XWorm RET, that sounds a lot more aggressive.
Oh, it is. The XWorm Remote Access Trojan, the RAT, gives the attackers complete, persistent control over your machine.
Okay, so that's the difference between someone stealing your electricity and someone installing surveillance cameras inside your house.
That's a perfect analogy. The RAT sets up these constant, suspicious outbound network connections to command and control servers. And from there, they can do anything. Log your keystrokes, capture screenshots, steal your files, install more malware, anything.
A total nightmare scenario. But the research pointed out this really bizarre twist in the story. Victors started getting these pop-up warnings after they were infected. How does a malware campaign warn its own victims?
This is one of the most fascinating parts of this whole deep dive. It seems a well-intentioned security researcher managed to find and get access to the malware's own command and control panel, the C2.
Hey, wait, you're saying the main dashboard the criminals were using to control all their infected machines was unsecured?
Exactly. It seems the attacker's own operational security was, well, non-existent, the researcher was able to use the attacker's own console to push out real warning messages to everyone who was infected.
That's incredible. They left the front door to their control room wide open. It really raises a question, doesn't it? If they were competent enough to deploy something like the X-Worm RAT, why would their own infrastructure be so vulnerable?
It points to a dynamic we should definitely talk about, this democratization of cybercrime. But in the short term, it just shows that being able to deploy a prepackaged tool doesn't mean you know how to secure the system that runs it. It was a huge OPSEC failure on their part.
Right, and a very lucky break for the victims.
A rare lucky break.
This whole thing, though, it started because users were looking for these unofficial tools. They were already accepting a certain level of risk.
That risk calculation is the foundation this whole campaign is built on. As you said, they were looking for Microsoft Activation Scripts, MAS. It's an open source project, and it uses methods like HWID activation and KMS emulation to bypass Microsoft's legitimate licensing.
So even though it's on GitHub, what does Microsoft call it?
Microsoft classifies it as a piracy tool,
right?
Plain and simple. Now, the point isn't to judge the users, but you have to understand the environment. Criminals have known for years that people seeking free or cracked software are already primed to lower their security shields. They are literally looking for code to execute from a source they don't fully trust.
I get the human factor, but shouldn't something like Windows Defender or other endpoint protection catch this? I mean, shouldn't it flag a PowerShell script trying to download malware or at least notice these weird outbound connections?
That is a great question. And it's a mix of things. The social engineering gets the user to voluntarily run the script. That's step one. The door is open.
Okay.
But the malware itself, especially the Cosmoly loader, it's constantly being updated.
Yeah.
They use obfuscation. They use different techniques to avoid the known signatures that standard antivirus tools are looking for. They're basically abusing the trust the operating system has in its own tools, like PowerShell.
So it's a constant cat and mouse game.
It is. The user made the first mistake. But the malware is designed to be evasive enough to make that mistake fatal.
Which brings us back to that broader trend you mentioned. The reason you can have sophisticated malware but amateur security behind it, this democratization of cybercrime.
This is such an important concept to grasp. The fact that tools like the Cosmoly Loader are open source, and that you can just buy or rent something like the X-Worm RAT, it massively lowers the barrier to entry for would-be criminals.
What does lowers the barrier mean in practice, though?
It means the people running this campaign probably aren't master programmers. They're deployers.
Okay.
They can buy access to a C2 panel as a service. They can purchase the malware framework ready to go. They don't have to build the RAT. They just have to figure out a clever way to distribute it, like type squatting.
And that leads to a higher volume of attacks from less skilled actors.
Exactly. A higher volume and a wider range of threat actors who are good at one thing, payload delivery, but terrible at others, like securing their own C2 panel, which is what we saw here.
So let's bring this back to the listener. For you, running your systems every day, what are the concrete, actionable steps you can take to avoid this?
Okay, we have to go back to the source of the failure, the manual typing. So first and foremost, verification is everything. You have to check domain names character by character, especially when you're about to run code from a remote source.
To slow down.
Slow down. Impatience is the attacker's single greatest ally.
Absolutely.
Second, whenever possible, copy and paste commands directly from official sources. Go to the project's actual GitHub page. Don't retype it from some random website or YouTube video. Copying and pasting eliminates the risk of a typo.
And if you absolutely have to test something that feels a bit sketchy,
don't do it on your main machine. Never. Use an isolated sandbox. Use a virtual machine.
Yeah.
Test unknown code somewhere. Can't do any real damage to your actual data.
And finally, a good endpoint protection tool is still important.
It is, but make sure it's configured to watch PowerShell activity specifically. It should be looking for unusual processes that are trying to make unauthorized connections out to the internet.
Let's shift to incident response. If you're listening and you think, uh-oh, that sounds familiar, what are the telltale signs that you might already be infected with something like this?
Look for two main things. First is resource use. Open up your task manager and look for weird PowerShell processes. They might have strange names, and critically, they'll be eating up a surprising amount of your CPU or GPU. That's the crypto miner.
And the X-Worm, RAT, how would you spot that?
That's all about network activity. The RAT is constantly calling home to its command and control servers. If you monitor the network traffic, you'll see these suspicious outbound connections. Data being sent when you're not actively doing anything. That's a huge red flag.
So if you see those signs, what is the immediate first response action?
Action has to be immediate. Step one, disconnect the machine from all networks. Pull the Ethernet cable, turn off the Wi-Fi, cut it off.
Stop it from spreading or sending out data.
Exactly. Step two, back up any absolutely critical files to a clean external drive.
And then you start running the antivirus scans to clean it up.
No. This is the most crucial part. Do not attempt a conventional cleanup. Modern malware like this weaves itself deep into the system. It creates multiple ways to stay persistent. You will almost never get it all.
So what's the solution?
You have to perform a complete system reinstallation. Wipe the drive, format it, and reinstall the operating system from scratch.
A full wipe and reload. That's brutal.
It's brutal, but it's the only way to be 100% sure it's gone. And while that's happening from a different clean device, you need to change all of your passwords. Every single one.
We started this whole deep dive with a single missing letter, a D in the word activated. I think the core lesson is just that scrutiny, that careful attention, it matters more than ever.
It really does. These cyber squatting campaigns don't succeed because of some brilliant new exploit. They succeed by exploiting basic human behavior, our rush to get a task done. We trade that moment of security for a little bit of speed.
And that brings us to a final provocative thought for you to take away. We talked about that researcher using the attacker's own insecure C2 panel to warn the victims. It's a great story.
It is.
So if these cybercrime operations are now run by deployers, people just buying off-the-shelf tools and renting their infrastructure, how much effort should security pros really be putting on the malware itself versus, say, disrupting the low security infrastructure in the marketplaces that let these amateurs launch campaigns in the first place?
Is defending against weak C2 panels the new front line in this fight? Something to think about.